Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a MyLowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards. Because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.
Making a grand return into the White House, mad to the charging of the Democrats in the United States. And he says he's about to deliver bigly and continue on his promise to make America great again. But what parallels can we draw between that lesson and ours? Is there any parallels at all? And what will Donald Trump's victory mean for Ghana? Let's connect to some really brilliant minds that are connecting with us on this issue. Nana Kakari is a Ghanaian journalist. She is based in the United States of America. And perhaps we've not gotten a better topic to really extract a lot from her than this. Nana, it's good to have you connected us.
Good evening,
Kweku. And Alice Yakubu is CEO of Alice Talk World. Alice, it's good to have you connect with us on this show for the first time. Hello, Alice.
Hi, I'm here. Good evening.
And Emmanuel Owusu Jampem is also a Ghanaian student in the U.S., Tennessee, and he's connecting with us on Zoom. He'll join us pretty shortly on that. Rafael Alta is a former show host, Focus FM, and then Philip Saba will connect with us in the studio pretty shortly. Let me start with you, Nana Kakari. Nana, let's start with the outcome of the election. Did you see that coming?
Not at all. I did not see that coming out, Donald Trump was going to win. However, I knew it was possible that, you know, it can go either way. The Democrats could pick it up or the Republicans. And it ended up that, you know, there was the clear victory for Donald Trump. And so what can we do but to accept it? Yesterday, actually, Biden made his first statement or his first press conference addressing Americans. And he was striking a unifying tone. And he was striking a unifying tone and actually urged Americans that, you know, we should unify and also assured Americans there will be a peaceful transfer of power. But, you know, it was shocking, but it was possible that it could go either way.
It is possible, you see, it is possible. Well, when you say it is shocking, what exactly do you mean? Because Trump is a former president, is someone who won bigly, in his own words, in 2016. And the signs were clear that the Democrats were not so strong on a lot of priority areas for America. The economy, for instance.
Exactly. For me, it was shocking because, you know, Trump, listening to his campaigns and statement that he has made in the past and even during his closing argument, where he actually crisscrossed around the battleground state. I think the day before the election, he campaigned in three battleground states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And these battleground states were crucial when it comes to determining who goes to the White House. Kamala Harris, on the other hand, actually focused heavily on Pennsylvania. He actually held rallies in about four or five cities in Pennsylvania and actually ended up or wrapping up her campaign in the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. And according to the campaign, that was intentional, ending the campaign, her rally in Philadelphia. They said that they chose the city of Philadelphia because Philadelphia is the origin of democracy, which actually was the focal point of Kamala Harris' campaign, democracy to unify the American people. So I think that whereas Donald Trump, while campaigning, continued with his attacks, not only to their Democratic nominee, Kamala, but also to people like immigrants, the Latinos and Black Americans, Haitians and what have you. So for me, I was basically thinking that America would decide on who is going to unify the country and not who was going to tear us apart. So that was the shocking aspect of us. Of that for me. However, when I say was possible, Donald Trump has, when it comes to the economy, a lot of Americans really, or polls actually clearly stated that He would do a great job when it comes to the economy. And those who were big on border security also thought that he would do a great job securing the borders. So I knew it could go either way. Folks who were big on democracy that Kamala Harris was preaching would definitely go to the polls and vote for her. And those who were big on the economy and immigration and border security will actually go in for Donald Trump. So I knew it could go the other way. However, I just thought that America was going to go for democracy, somebody who was going to unify the country, and that did not happen.
Emmanuel, that is the same sense you get. Did you also get a shock down your spine when Donald Trump was projected in the early mornings of Wednesday, particularly those of us who watch from here? Did you get that shock?
Yes, very cool. Good afternoon from here. Well, I think the election actually shocks everybody because, I mean, like, if you look at the history...
It didn't shock me. Me, I was clearing my mind 2 weeks prior that Trump was going to beat Harris like a drum.
You may have a reason, but I'm saying that, I mean, like, it's actually a shock to you. I mean, like, it's a shock everywhere. And myself, I was really shocked because looking at, I mean, like, the issues, like, the campaign... the policies of, I mean, like, Vice President Harris and all those. I think Donald Trump's win actually came in as a shock to a lot of people. I mean, and looking at even the attitude of... So, yeah, I totally agree. But then, I mean, like, on the question of whether you have, I mean, like, you can draw inference from the U.S. elections in Ghana, I've not really come across...
Okay, Emmanuel, we'll come to that. I think your line is breaking. Your line is breaking a lot. Your Zoom connection isn't a bit stable. You are in Tennessee, and I suppose you are using 5G there in the U.S. So please fix that up for us briefly. Position yourself. We'll get back to you on that. Alice, let me come to you. I mean, you and I, we are in Ghana. We monitor proceedings from down here. A lot of Ghanaians, I mean, our colleague Fento Tahiro went to the streets, spoke to some Ghanaians who really were supporting and rooting for Trump. Was that the same feeling for you?
Hello, can you kindly take it again?
Yeah, Alice, I was asking, I mean, in Ghana and in Africa, there were those, I mean, who really were rooting for Trump. Our colleague here, Joy, Fentu Tahiru, went out there, spoke to some people, they were rooting for Trump. CNN's Larry Madowo spoke to some people in Kenya, rooting for Trump. Africa, rooting for Trump.
Mm-hmm.
But that same sense you get that, listen, you were also rooting for Trump, or you were saying that, listen, Kamala Harris needed to be given the chance.
All right. So me, for instance, I actually do believe in women empowerment. So with women, I am just a young girl in Ghana trying to, you know, impact in one or two ways. And I believe in empowerment of a lady. And I know it is actually difficult for a woman to climb up there to, especially within political parties or political athletes. So when we saw, I mean, Ghanaians, majority of Ghanaians, ladies that also believe in women empowerment, I could realize that a lot of the females were, you know, going for Kamala, go there, women can do better. Yes, but I saw majority of the noisemakers, people who are on social media, people who are everywhere actually supporting Trump. People felt like he deserved to come back. And me, his one wasn't actually surprising. It wasn't a shock to me.
I mean, you said that you were rooting for Kamala Harris. So is it that you thought that this was always going to end the way it did, or you were hopeful that she would win, or you were just supporting her because, like the premise you laid earlier on, you believed in women empowerment and you believe that a woman getting
up there? I wasn't all out rooting for Kamala. I equally believed in the whole lot of about Trump coming back. I knew it would be possible. As I said, it wasn't all that shocking to me. But I was just rooting for a woman out there, you know, trying to become the next president for the country.
Right. I'm Pim Emmanuel.
If I may add, look at it this way. This is Africa, especially when it comes to Ghana. Look at little girls, brown-skinned girls, watching television and seeing a woman of their color, the same color, right? Kamala is from, mother is Indian, the dad is Jamaican. a Black woman, first time we don't really see a lot of women getting involved in politics when it comes to, you know, the political landscape in Africa or Ghana, to be specific. So basically, I could tell when you really look at the, when it comes to women or, you know, folks in Ghana, they see themselves, right?
Yes, when
they
I can hear you, but please let Nana Jane make the point. And then, did I say Nana Jane? Nana Kakari.
That's why. So I could see the culture aspect of it as to a lot of women in Africa were rooting for Kamala. They may not have actually agreed with her policies, but just seeing their kind, their skin tone, just like admiring and aspiring. He was inspirational to a lot of little brown skin girls or Ghanaian kids, right? So I think I can understand the inspirational aspect of it. But unlike, you know, Ghana, in the US, we go by the policies. Who's going to give the ordinary American a better life? And that's what they were looking for. And I think that they clearly demonstrated that in the polls.
Ampem, I'll come to you pretty shortly, but Alice and Nana, you've just said that you're rooting for a woman, women empowerment. On the Ghanaian ticket, there's a woman, the vice presidential candidate of the NDC, Professor Nana Jane Opoku-Adjiman. Alice, let me hear from you.
Okay. So I was just adding on Nana's voice. Nana actually said what I had wanted to say. You know, we believe in our culture, all right? And it's not like, I think she stated about policies. We believe in, where they are, they actually believe in policies before they go into their polls. But here in Ghana, yeah, it's likewise. I mean, if I tell you the history of the current state in Ghana too, in the coming 7th December, you could see that a lot of people, especially we the young ones and we women and all, we equally believe in the policies. We believe in who is coming to give us a better life. And with that, regardless, one thing I think is so admirable is we ladies, when we see a woman out there, people do claim that we are our own enemies. But I feel that we rather empower our colleagues. So when we see people up there and it becomes so admirable, we support regardless. Yes, I know you're asking that. Why are we not supporting Nana Jane? I know that the next question that will be coming.
Yeah. That's the question I'm actually coming to ask you. I'm asking you, you said you were rooting for Kamala. You wanted to see a woman up there. In Ghana, a woman has never climbed up to the position of a president or a vice president. But this time around, you have one, number two on the ticket of the NDC. So are you rooting that way, or when it comes to this, the dynamics is different for you?
For that, I will say I'm actually proud for Nana Jane. She's a role model, a mentor. But
you don't have to commit yourself. You don't have to say anything. No,
I'm not committing. I'm just saying that I'm actually proud that as a woman, she's, you know, in a space of politics, and she has climbed to the ladder of, you know, becoming the next vice president. What I can just say is that We wish her well. We keep preaching her messages to other young people. We see her to be someone we do admire as well. But here is the case that it's all about the policies as well. If someone is preaching in a line of, you know, not supporting something like, I am a free education beneficiary. So if someone is educating someone, or maybe probably preaching his or her policies, and it's not in alignment with my interest or what would benefit me, I doubt I would go in for that. I doubt I would sign for that.
Right.
So young people in Ghana, as I see, they believe in the free education policies because people have made it through free education.
Yeah.
So the other party isn't supporting that. I wouldn't sit and say, because of women empowerment, because of what I believe in, I would just follow women empowerment and it wouldn't, you know, would I say yield any result to me? I don't know if he gets what I'm trying to say.
I get it. No. Do you find it a bit ironic? And I'll come to you, Emmanuel, pretty shortly, but because the woman factor has come in, that we are drawing parallels. So I'll get to you pretty shortly. But Nana, do you find it a bit ironic that, listen, you've heard Alice talk about rooting for Kamala Harris because she's a woman, she wants to see a woman up there. And then she says, okay, when it comes to Ghana, well, okay, there's this. Of course, she has a dynamic. She's benefited from free SHS. She's looking at the policies of both political parties. Do you find a bit surprising that the woman factor has not played up quite significantly in the lead up to the 2024 election in Ghana?
You know what? And she just demonstrated, like you laid out clearly, She was supporting Kamala because she believed in women empowerment. However, she kind of shied away when it came to Nana Jane being on the campaign trail, right? I think that how Ghanaians, mind you, we looked at the United States as, well, not even look, United States is a great global economy, right? Everybody, any country or third world countries looked up to these developed countries. And so again, that transpired to their leadership as well. So when they say, I believe in women empowerment, I'm going for Kamala. However, when it comes home to Ghana, it was a bit like, okay, I'm hesitating to say, I'm just going to, just because I believe. So it's basically, I think it's the same women empowerment by using women empowerment to apply to different people on a different continent. Right. But the point I'm trying to make is, when it comes to the policies, yes, we Americans, we looked at, okay, you know what, this is Kamala, she's a woman, she believed in, she basically campaigned on women having the right to do whatever they want to do with their body, abortion. Trump was on the other side, women came on, but then she was also preaching about democracy and unifying everyone, even reaching out to the other aisle, which is the Republicans. Mm. She was campaigning with former Congresswoman Liz Cheney and all that. So, I mean, my point is, if you're going to believe in women empowerment, let that apply to every woman, no matter whether they are in Ghana or whether they are in the United States or whether they, wherever they are. If not, then you want to focus on the policies that they bring in on the campaign trail, then you focus on that. But you can't apply one, you can't say women empowerment and apply to Kamala Harris. But then when it comes to Nana, then it's a whole different, you hesitate on that. Yeah. So yeah, true. That's a little bit, you know, I don't get that.
Yeah, I guess that's the point of democracy. People make choices every day. But Emmanuel, coming back to you, and you are in Memphis, Tennessee. I hope you fixed up your network, and it's not like you're speaking from Abisim near Nankaseko, Florida, right? So, Ampim, talking about correlation, we've discussed at length this woman factor, Nana Jane, Kamala Harris, but it's a small part of the correlation people have sought to draw. There's a matter of a former president in the U.S. The guy who was a former president has won, making a return to the White House. In Ghana, the former president, John Dramani Mahama, is seeking to get back to the Flagstaff House or Jubilee House, depending on how you want to call it. And then there's also the vice president, in the end, in the person of Kamala Harris, who's lost now, and then Vice President Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia.
Yes, Kweku, thank you very much, and I'm very happy to be back. So if you ask me what really got Donald Trump in power this time, they were policies. Because the American voter is always, you know, looking out for policies. I understand the bit of the women empowerment. It plays a very key role in everything that we do now. Affirmative action, women empowerment is very key. And Kamala Harris is actually going to go down as one of the key people who has inspired a lot of young girls and women to aspire for, you know, like, greater things in the world, and you cannot take that away from her. But if you ask me that what was on the ballot this time, the ballot was the war in Gaza, economy, the prices of groceries, you know, the defense of constitution, freedom, women's rights, abortion rights. These were the key issues that were actually on the ballot in this year's election. And if you are to draw that correlation with Ghana's election, I have always argued that if you look at our age topography, the average age in Africa currently is like 17 years, right? It means that whatever policies that any government is actually going to give right now to Ghanaians, or whatever policy that the government intends to roll out, should be a factor. The age topography in Ghana should definitely play a role. And you cannot take that away from us, you know? So it means that, what are the policies that Vice President Dr. Mahmoud Bawumia is saying? What are the policies that, you know, like the former president is saying? And as this is actually going to be a comeback for the former president, I believe that it must be a comeback hard, like what Donald Trump did here in the United States, because
if it is policies, if you're looking at the economy currently in Ghana, and if you are in the US and you look at the economy, people actually voted on the economy. People voted voted on immigration, because according to New York Times, immigration has risen 3 times since Joe Biden came to power. And these were the critical issues that people, even in Texas, historically voted for Donald Trump. So it's definitely always about policies. But Kamala Harris is going to come back hard, hopefully, and she is going to go down as one of the black women in the United States that really inspired and supported young women. And the right, the fight for the right, for abortion rights, freedom, the protection of the Constitution definitely is going to play a role in the next election
So you don't really think that the correlation that has thought to be drawn, John Mahama, Trump, Kamala Vice President Bawumia, it's really not going to really be anything. It's
You know, apart from my stance on imperialism, neocolonialism, and always we Africans trying to, you know, like find our way to the West is actually, you know, like very funny. Aside that, I mean, like, you may want to also enjoy the spins. You may want to also enjoy all, the research that comes with it. But I've not really come across any critical, better research that actually says that always there's a correlation between the United States election and Ghana. That's okay. But then also, if you ask me, there is definitely an interest, because the last time that I checked the GIPC, that is the Ghana Investment Promotion Center, that report, it means that the United States actually plays a very critical role in aid and in business in Ghana, which definitely they fall around the fourth best countries investing in Ghana. Therefore, there's definitely, something that you may want to look at. The issue of ideology in terms of center-right and center-left definitely is going to come to, play. I've seen the NPP congratulate the party here for winning the election, because why, they share in ideologies. They share in the center-right ideology, which definitely is fine. But then, I see that there is no correlation. Is a Ghanaian voter going to say that because Donald Trump won?
Right. Pema sort of make that correlation. Emmanuel, thank you very much. Please hold it there for me. I'll come back to you. Philip Saba joining us in studio. Philip, is the correlation real? Because I've seen Sami Javid, for instance, put out a picture where the clergy is praying for Mahama, and then a picture of the clergy in the U.S. Praying for Trump. Listen, some have said, these are mere coincidences, and that if NDC will win, they will win on their own show, not because there's a wave of former presidents necessarily coming back into office.
Good evening, though. I've heard, followed the conversation from start, and I think that it's not just mere correlation, because nothing happens by chance in the world any longer. But you see, the fact remains that the issues that are hand in the democracy that we practice, the relationship between Ghana and United States of America over the years, it has always been the fact that if a Democrat wins the elections, then NDC wins the election here before the 2016-2020 elections. But you see, the issues or the state of affairs in both countries are very similar. The issues of the economy. Yes, it has been the economy, and the way that people who have been instrumental in the hardship of the people are the same people trumpeting that they want to relieve them from their woes. Because the funny thing is that these same people inflicted their woes on the people and trying to find a way to deassociate themselves from it. Just in the case of Kamala Harris and then Alhaji Mahmoud Bawumia, they are the same people who have played a very significant role in the affairs of the people. They took the economy to where it is. And you see, I think that the economy played a very key role. And one major thing or points that played a key role in Trump's election is the fact of his stance on the LGBTQ issue, the proper human rights thing that we call in Ghana. I mean, the homosexual laws and all those things. So Trump has been very key and very upfront with it to say that, just like President John Dramani Mahama, that I'm not allowing that today, I'm not allowing that tomorrow. But, you know, Kamala, when she came to Ghana and she worked with Vice President Alhaji Mahmoud Bawumia, and then she was addressing the press the last time, she was addressing some group of people, announcing that Ghana should be able to adopt the the homosexuality in Ghana and all those things. Yes, some may say that in the presence of the vice president, but the vice president, the people didn't call her to order and any other thing. So some of these things are key issues that people would want to address. And you see, people have been very reasonable and people have been very conscious of the things that they do. First of all, the economy was very, very significant. And you see, the Americans have shown that, see, you can't just turn around and just lie and make lying the business as usual. And you see...
Who was lying? Kamala Harris.
No, the fact that you are very instrumental in the woes of the people and now you want to turn around and make it look like you are the savior. Meanwhile, you brought the injury. It's just like a computer or a software company build a virus and want to give you an antivirus, you buy it the same from them. It doesn't make sense. If you have the chance, if you get a chance, you would not want to even buy the virus to even go buying that. So it's just like making use, or it's been business as usual out of the problems of the people. So you brought the woes to the people. Now you are telling them that you are the one that will redeem them from it, which is very bad. So I think that the this is not just mere coincidence. The fact remains that the things, whatever that will happen, is just like a dream. We have seen what will happen in the spiritual world, and now it's just to the physical world. Whatever happened in America, where the people ran away from the incumbent vice president to go for their former president, is the same thing that is happening in Ghana. Because the situations are the same. The economy and the fact of the homosexual laws and all those things that Trump spoke against. The same thing Mahama is speaking against too. And
The current government, hasn't said.
They seem mute.
They've raised matters constitutionally.
Vice President Alhaji Mahmoud, but never mentioned anything about it.
In fact, he has spoken on several campaigns to Philip. Hold on. The vice president has spoken several times and has said clearly that when he becomes president, but the vice president has not signed it. But okay, thank you. I'll come back to you.
Chopping the praise for all the good things that this presidency have done.
Right. So
and some people are even saying that the statue that was raised in the Eastern region was masterminded by him.
That was Western region, but that's a good point. Alice, the point Philip is making here is that there's still a lot of correlation that they can drive. It talks about the suffering of, say, the American people, the economic issues that some people face in the U.S., and what he says is similar to Ghana. The vice president, there's a vice president in Ghana, in the U.S., there's the former presidents. You get the same sense?
All right, so, sorry, what's the name again? The one that just finished addressing?
Philip.
Okay, Mr. Philip, I would address it this way. So, I do buy into what you are saying as to not everything, but as to saying that in Ghana, people are more thinking of whatever that is happening, that they might vote against an individual. I mean, vote against a party because of the current happenings and all. Yet, what I would also say is, I listened to you, and most of the things he addressed was just towards the current vice president. Let's be honest to ourselves, even as, we human beings just here, you can all satisfy that at home, everywhere we find ourselves, vice is more like a neck to the country. It's just like a mom and dad at home. No matter what, in our culture here, you need to respect the head.
No. I think.
Let Alice land. Philip, hold on. Let Alice land, and then I'll come back to you. Philip, Alice is making a point about what she believes the role of the vice president is. No, that's not what she's saying. But you please. Okay, it's great. So please let Alice make the point. When Alice finishes making the point, I'll come back to you.
So according to what Philip is saying, yes, we are human beings. We go through hardship and other things, and we feel like, okay, now our vice president and the incoming president, hopefully, it's more like just like what, Kamala went through.
So you incoming president, hopefully.
Yeah, that's what is my perception. So you might be thinking that, because of what the current happenings are, he might not stand a chance, or the country people are kind of fed up and they wouldn't sign up for that. No. To me, I would tell you that it is a big no, because he is the vice president. It's just like affirmative action. Problem like this. I talk more of this because I am a woman and I believe in women empowerment. This thing has been empowerment for so many years and has been waiting for the law to pass and the president to assent it. So if the president has not assented that affirmative action like this, can you tell me that our vice president could do so?
Is it possible? We have ideas that, just like I said, at home, your mom could present a lot of things that they want it to be done to have a betterness or a good, you know, structure at home. But if the dad does not permit, how would you have, I mean, smooth run? So to me, I feel like, you know, there are a lot happening. Yes, I do believe. But when he get the opportunity, as he said, he will do more. And I mean, people in the country too are believing in his ideologies, and they are party ideologies. So that is that.
Interesting. Let's get some comments, and then we'll come back. Oh, Philip.
Yeah, Kweku, you see, sometimes we need to avoid the, I'm sorry to say, the level of hypocrisy that we attach to some of these things.
Hypocrisy?
You see, Philip, it's been clear that...
The lady has explained to you that, when it comes to taking decisions, that is the decision of the president. That is the... See, your mic is off, so please hold it there for a minute. She explains to you that when it comes to taking decisions, the president is the head of the executive. The government is his. So if he says, okay, the vice president makes a decision, I like this. If he says, I don't like this, then it doesn't go. Until you give that person the right and make him the president in his own right, he can't deal with it.
The issue is that we are in Ghana currently, that when the thing goes wrong, then it's for Nana Akufo-Addo. But if it goes right, the credit goes to Alhaji Mahmood Bawumia. Well, immediately it goes bad, President William Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo gets the blame. But you see, the issue is that we are being very hypocritical here. The fact of the case is that the people of America decided that now, if you think that you are neck and you are not head enough to man the affairs of the state, then remain your neck. So you go back, you are not fit to be ahead because you are neck and you are not qualified to be. But when one at one length, it goes right, then we give credit Vice President Alhaji Mahmood Bawumia. When it goes wrong, then we say that President William Akufo-Addo has done so badly.
Yes,
I think we are not being fidel to the issue. The issue is that whatever that has happened, it is a government. It is President William Addo Dankwa Akufo-Addo and Alhaji Mahmood Bawumia government. You can't take it away from him. So what do you mean? In the absence of the president, the vice president is there. There are several deals that the vice president pretended. The SML deal, the PDS deal, and many other deals that he
literally just said, in the absence of the president, the vice president is there.
In the presence of the president, the vice president is still part of the government.
Okay.
So you can't take it from me. You don't mean that the views of the vice president are bogus. Even the president categorically told us that this government that he is doing, in his government, Alhaji Mahmood Bawumia is the one in charge of the economy. And that is where we are now. He told us that when dollar was 4 cedis to a dollar, and it is now the same thing as 70 cedis to a dollar. So you can't take it away from him. If the goods come and you give him, when it's the bad time to give it to him.
Emmanuel, you wanted to make a point. Wait, can I come in?
Please do. Please do so.
Okay, so I think the issue of you bringing vice president in and all those, I think, I mean, possibly you may want to do those politics on the streets. That's okay. But then, I mean, drawing the correlation between the fact that when the vice president, you know, becomes the president, and because the vice president is the vice president, he is in charge of everything that is going on, I think we've passed those stages. Because if you look at what happened in this year's election, there were key issues that happened, right? And the fact that those issues are immigration that Donald Trump actually tagged the vice president with, played a very critical role, definitely. Yes. You may want to tag the economy failing in Ghana to the vice president. That's okay. But it does not mean that when the vice president becomes the president, definitely things are not going to go well.
Let's get some messaging in terms of all the messages that have been coming in. A lot of you pouring in with a lot of messages. Michael joins me in studio with some messages. Michael Papani, what are people saying on social media and our WhatsApp console?
Well, let's quickly connect with Jesse from Sakumona. He says, hello. The only correlation I see with Trump's victory to Ghana's upcoming election is the current state of affairs. Trump campaigned mainly on inflation, cost of living, immigration, border security, and the promise to reduce taxes as opposed to the incumbent seeking to defend their record. With an exchange rate beyond 16 Ghana's, his economy is not different. It is said that opposition doesn't win elections. It's the government in power that loses. Thank you, Jesse. This one here says that the lady is not telling the truth. Where did the NDC say they are not supporting the free SHS? Such a joke. Well, unfortunately, didn't give us your name. Let's go to Nana from Spinkton. He says, guys, I lived in the UK for about 30 years. Only visited the US. Honestly, the Democrats should have known that if Hillary, which white woman, wasn't accepted, Kamala wouldn't have been chosen. The Democrats are too liberal with LGBTQ, hence most of the black churches were very against them. Also, Trump's policy suited the U.S. presently. This from Nana, all the way from Spintex. And then this one here says that, well, Donald Trump's win was heavily endorsed because any right-thinking human being on earth will vote against any preacher of LGBTQ. And that alone is enough for anyone to vote for Trump. This should be a sign of defeat for those who are hidden behind the Supreme Court in order not to assent to the anti-LGBTQ bill. Unfortunately, you two didn't give us... No, this is actually from Elder, all the way from Sunyani Kweku. So these are some of the messages that have come through, and I'm sure that your guests will respond to some of the messages that have come through.
Definitely. I mean, Philip, the point has been made that when it comes to the vice president and the correlation that have been made, the vice president would want to get his own time. And if he does get his own time, then he can deliver on that record. And ultimately, Ghanaians can judge him.
Of what you can do. You see, there have been several communications from the presidency. I know that we are trying to draw correlation between the U.S. election and Ghanaian election, but the fact remains the same that Vice President Alhaji Mahmood Bawumia has been communicated severally by the official communicators of the party. In fact, the former Minister of Information, will not come and lie to us that Vice President Alhaji Mahmood Bawumia has been very key and instrumental in implementing or the passage of the e-levy bill. So if this man did that, why would you say that he's now coming to campaign against his own policy to say that he would not do the same thing? Are you saying that they don't accept the views of Vice President Alhaji Mahmood Bawumia? Well, we were here and we watched it on TV when Alhaji Mahmood Bawumia was campaigning in a region, and one nursing trainee mentioned that they've not been paid their allowance for some time. He mentioned on stage that they will be paid, and I think 3 days after that, the controller or Ministry of Finance wrote a letter to the effect that all those outstanding bills to be paid. So if just a campaign tour that he can make such promise and it to be delivered, how much more the woes of the country, the betting tax, the e-levy, and of course the COVID levy that we keep paying, where even in China, where the virus started from, they are no more paying virus levies or e-levy. They are not paying COVID-19 levy. But here in Ghana, we are still paying a COVID-19 levy in 2024. See, so Kweku, the issue is that you can't say that if the vice president position is irrelevant to government, then they should pass a law. We should take that away from the constitution. Do you think that the framers of the constitution were blunt or they were not wise enough to include the position of the vice president into the constitution and make it a very formidable position? Who has power in Ghana more than the president? He's the second gentleman of the land. That is why he moves about with the wife, and that's why the wife is paid. Your wife or your mother is not paid.
Well, but the Supreme Court has now ruled that you can't pay the first and second.
Fine, whatever be the case, but the allowances and everything that they get there is due to the fact that that is it. If it's not a significant position, why do you think that the president moves around with escorts? That he is even the chairman of the police council, the security council. So he has a very key role to play. It was not Alhaji Mahmood Bawumia's and the police council that decided that Mr. Yohonu, deputy IGP be appointed, Yohonu be appointed. If Bawumia can head that to make that should happen in the police service, what has happened to those who have lost their lives in the election? That Alhaji Mahmood Bawumia is the head of the police council, and he has been mute over that for over 4 years now. Those who lost their life, the chairman of the police council has nothing to say just because a party is supposed to win, MPP is supposed to win an election. President has been quiet over that, and right, we are now heading to another election. Right. And he, being the chairman of the police council, has nothing to say about that, and he's telling us that we should give him power so that more people can lose their lives.
Nana Kakari, what do you stand on this argument that has been going around the table? The vice president correlation people have started to address. I mean, I know in the U.S., Kamala Harris did speak and say that, listen, she was going to have her own vision. At some point, she was asked, and then she said she wasn't going to change a thing about what Biden had done. That really didn't go well with her. And then subsequently, she pivoted and said that she was going to be her own woman. That's about me. I said the same thing in this. There's a region debate in Ghana and around this table as well. Where do you stand on that?
So, you know what? Let me make this crystal clear. Ghana is a developing country. The United States is already developed. The fact that the opposition party, which is the Republican nominee, Donald Trump, won the election, doesn't mean that the opposition party in Ghana, the NDC, is going to win the election. Anybody looking at it that way, that's a shallow way to look at things. The policies are different, right? Ghana, the election system in Ghana is different from the election, the electoral system in the United States. Problems that Ghanaians are facing. Yes, the economy is a hot potato in the Jubilee House. It was a hot potato here at the White House. I get it. But you have to look at it that the political cultures are different. Over here in the United States, our Congress, which is similar to the Parliament of Ghana, is fully operational. It's functioning. Unlike what is going on in Ghana right now, where we don't know what the lawmakers or what parliament is doing. Unlike the Ghana, in the US, our president is now building statues for himself. President Biden is actually talking to Americans on how to unify Americans and ensure a peaceful transfer of power. In Ghana, we have Ghana, a president who doesn't speak up. Let's not even a wide range of issues where the Jubilee House has been mute. Talk about the illegal mining, the galamsey that just went on in recent days. Here in the United States, our president is bold. Our president admits when he makes mistakes and take accountability when he makes mistakes. So I want to draw, yes, the coalition, the similarity starts and stop at a former president coming back to campaign for the White House, a former president in Ghana coming to campaign for the Jubilee House. There's a woman on the ticket. There's a vice president who is running for presidency. In the U.S., there was a vice president running for presidency. And that's about it. Let's just stop right there. Let's just get off our dreamland. That's about it. However, what Ghana is facing or what Ghanaians are facing is totally different. Our system here in the U.S. is well established. Let's get that straight. Our infrastructure is well established, better than the infrastructure in Ghana. Our healthcare system is better than the healthcare system in Ghana. Our educational system is better than the educational system in Ghana. So Ghanaians, we got to cut our coats according to our size. Don't make any comparison just because what happens in the U.S. is going to happen in Ghana. Ghana don't have that resources or the logistics. You haven't gotten there yet. So get off the dreamland. You are down. America is more established. So we need to kind of like cut our coat according to our size. As a Ghanaian third world country, that needs to put policies or execute policies that will help the country develop. Our lawmakers in the U.S., the senators and the representatives, they don't act childish like the lawmakers in parliament. Right. They go, American lawmakers, that's let me finish, strong, American okay. lawmakers go to Congress to do what the Americans send them okay. to do.
Okay.
Ghanaian lawmakers go to play musical chairs. Who is going to sit where? Who is going to sit where? And that's it. So we need to really make that clear that what's happening in U.S. has nothing to do with what's going to happen in Ghana.
Okay.
If by any chance the NDC wins the election, it's mere luck. It has nothing to do with, oh, because anything that happens there. Let's get the final thing quickly. I would like to say is that when we vote a president, we vote either the Biden administration or in Ghana, the Akufo-Addo administration. We do not separate Bawumia from Akufo-Addo. They are in it together. If a crime is committed or if the economy is bad, the two of them, we can't disconnect the two. It's the Akufo-Addo administration made of the vice president Bawumia, just as it's the Biden administration here in the U.S. made up of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, period. So when it comes to the campaign and this thing is going wrong, we put it on one person and things are going right, we put it in one person. No. Under the Akufo-Addo administration, what happened with the economy? Under the Akufo-Addo administration, what happened with healthcare, the education system? No. That's about it. Let's stop separating and de-associating the two together, period.
Okay. Okay, so Alice, let me bring you in and let me give you like 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Just give me 20 seconds of your thought. If you don't mind, where do you think the pendulum is swinging in Ghana? NPP, NDC. If you mind, you can skip it. But if you don't mind, you can tell me where you think it's going.
All right. So what I will add up is, you said in 20 minutes?
In 20 seconds.
20 seconds. All right. So Nana spoke so well. Nana spoke so well, and I applaud her for that. So what I will add up is, as a student leader, we believe in, you know, the development of students. So they always say, do not side, like, you don't side with MPP, NDC, but you rather side with whoever, or you speak on both sides, whoever that can bring development, whoever that can bring progress, great. I mean, for the progress, interest of the progress. Students. Great. So what I will add up, yes, so what I will add up is that, in my own point of view, in Ghana here, in this our country, we do believe and love our culture so well. Great. And we know very well.
Okay, Alice, I have to catch you there. I know you are itching to make that point, but a really brilliant conversation we've had today about the US election, the correlation in Ghana. Philip Saba, thank you very much. Alice, thank you very much. Nana Kakari, thank you very much. And then Imano Osoje, Tennessee, Memphis. Thank you very much.
Into the States and they finish their courses. Maybe they should come back to Ghana and apply the knowledge that they get there so that we don't end up seeing our MPs dancing in Parliament and all that. So that will not be an issue. When people go out there, they should come back and help build Ghana. They shouldn't stay there. They should come back. And it's good that we should develop our country, our homeland.
Great. Nana Kakari, that's the message to you and Emmanuel. They say if you go to Obiman, so please come back. Let's build our country together. So Nana, leave the US and come back. Emmanuel Osoje, leave Tennessee, come back. Let's stay at Medina together. We used to be there. Let's stay there together. This is Ghana Connect. My name is Kweku Asante. Andy Dusty is up next. You don't have to miss. I'll see you again same time next week. And for those of you who enjoy Ghana Connect, you know we are back on TV tomorrow morning, 8 to 9 a.m. See you there.